You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Tom Rutherford.
Welcome back to The Wire. Just under 2 weeks ago, the government passed the Pay Equity Amendment Bill under urgency. This bill would change existing pay equity legislation to make it more restrictive, which the government says will save billions of dollars. The process was originally introduced to address issues of pay inequity between sectors. While the Equal Pay Act mandates that people working the same job are paid the same, regardless of gender, pay equity is meant to ensure industries dominated by women are not paid less than similar industries dominated by men. The process has worked by allowing applicants to compare their positions with positions in other sectors with similar workloads, skills, or experience. The government's changes will limit the criteria for comparators, allow only industries with over 70% women in the workforce as opposed to the previous 60%, and remove the ability for the authority to award back pay, among other changes. These changes have been met with criticism from rights organisations, advocacy groups, and political parties. In our weekly catch-up with National's Tom Rutherford, I ask about the Pay Equity Amendment Bill. I wanted to start off today with the government's recent Pay Equity Bill. Before we get into the new proposal, what was the existing system and what were the government's issues with it?
Yeah, so in 2017, the New Zealand government at that time had a case brought by Christine Bartlett through the Supreme Court on behalf of thousands of care and support workers. In response to that, the last national government delivered the first ever pay equity settlement in New Zealand. It then designed a clear legal regime so that the other claims could be progressed without workers having to resort to the courts like Christine did. In 2020, the Labor government put its own pay equity regime in place. This saw admin workers compared with civil engineers, social workers compared with detectives, and librarians compared with fishery officers, for example. What started under National as a clear pay equity regime to redress historically underpaid female-dominated workforce became a multi-billion dollar grievance industry that departed a very long way from issues of sex discrimination, and it also became completely unaffordable. So now we've put in place a much more workable pay equity regime and set out a transparent process through which employers and employees can negotiate the question of equal value.
Yeah, so in actual terms, what are the changes that the government is putting forward to this process?
Yeah, so our government has changed the process for progressing pay equity settlements. So let's be clear, pay equity addresses female-dominated workforces that have been historically underpaid and undervalued due to sex-based discrimination, for example, social workers and care and support workers. It's different from equal pay, which is equal pay is the concept that a woman doing the same job as a man should get the same pay. We're not changing that. Equal pay is fully supported by the government and remains protected in New Zealand law as it has since 1972. So under the government's changes, women can still make pay equity claims. A woman who've already had one pay equity claims will not have their pay cut. There were 12 that have been settled through pay equity settlements already. And so the changes we've made are the first pay equity, as I said, was claim was proved in the Supreme Court by Christine Bartlett in 2017. What started as a very clear pay equity regime to redress historically underpaid female-dominated workforces has become a multi-billion dollar grievance industry that departed a long way from issues of sex discrimination.
There were 33 claims in progress under the previous legislation when the law was changed, some of which have been years in the making, and now they have to go through and recreate these claims under the new tighter restrictions. Is it reasonable to be forcing these groups to make massive changes after all this work and effort?
Yeah, so the 33 claims that were in work under the previous legislation can reapply under the changes that we have made. Yes, I can understand some frustrations for those that have been working on them under the previous operations of the pay equity system that the Labor government brought in 2020. We've changed some of the rules and the regime of how it's operated, and they can reapply under the new process that we've outlined for pay equity.
And there's not exactly been a lot of warning to these organisations, right? I mean, years of work obviously has gone into creating these applications for pay equity, and then the bill was rushed through under urgency. What exactly is so urgent about getting this bill through?
Yeah, in terms of timing, urgency is sometimes required to deal with unintended consequences or systems that are no longer functioning as they should, and to provide maximum clarity. We felt it was important to have one clear, consistent system for managing pay equity claims. Running two different systems at the same time, one under the old rules that Labor brought in 2020 and one under the new, would have created confusion and potential legal uncertainty and unfairness for both workers and employers. As I said, for the existing 33 claims, a path to raise and resolve pay equity claims isn't going away. What's changing is the process, making it clearer and more focused that the future claims are stronger and truly reflect cases of gender-based undervaluation. That helps protect the integrity of the system and ensures real inequities get addressed.
In discussions around the bill, one of the arguments that the government is bringing up, and you brought it up earlier as well, is that the change would save the government billions of dollars. Where are these billions of dollars actually coming from?
Yeah, so we're only 2 days away from releasing our budget on the 22nd of May, so you will have more to see around those sorts of information and details when the budget's released on Thursday. So not in a place to be able to comment further on that until the budget's released on Thursday, but there will be more to say on that. And as the Minister of Finance has said, the truth will out.
You also mentioned earlier those comparisons between positions such as social workers and detectives or librarians and fisheries officers. Obviously, when the pay equity changes came through, there were the issues of having comparators between industries dominated by women and industries dominated by men. The original pay equity changes allowed these workers to compare their pay to other industries with other workers. How can this comparison be useful if we restrict the comparator criteria to workers only in similar industries?
Yeah, so we want to make sure that we are comparing apples with apples. So under Labor's regime that they brought in 2020, it saw admin workers compared with civil engineers. And I'm sure most people can appreciate that comparing an admin worker with a civil engineer is not comparing like for like. Same with a social worker being compared to a detective, or as I've said, a librarian being compared with a fishery officer. It also saw multiple employers joined to claims, and some claims with dozens of very different jobs in scope. What started under National as a clear pay equity regime to redress historically underpaid female-dominated workforces did become a multi-billion dollar grievance industry, and it became completely unaffordable. So our government has put in place a much more workable pay equity regime, and the changes will enable the government to unwind the forecast blowout in pay equity costs while also ensuring New Zealand retains an affordable and fair pay equity scheme that is focused on genuine sex-based discrimination.
Right, but as I mentioned, the organisations, the industries that have been traditionally underpaid, such as, you know, social work, librarians, admin workers, as you mentioned, some of the adjacent industries that might be more easy comparisons are other industries that have been dominated by women and also historically underpaid. So to get those points of comparison, you might have to go a further degree away and maybe have these slightly less comparative industries, but you'll be able to compare it to an industry that has been dominated by men. And so I guess I'm asking about that, you know, by restricting the comparators, are we risking not allowing applicants to make productive comparisons?
What we're saying is we need them to be compared with a like for like. And we're saying, say, for example, the 33 existing claims that were underway, there is still a path for them to raise and resolve pay equity claims. And it's not going away. What's changing is the process. We've made it clearer and more focused that future claims are stronger and truly reflect cases of gender-based undervaluation. This helps protect the integrity of the system and ensures that we do focus on real inequities and get them addressed.
In defence of this change, we've also seen Minister Nicola Willis and Prime Minister Christopher Luxon repeat that this change is not an attack on women. Is that, I guess, congruent with the fact that this is a change that will only affect sectors made up predominantly of women?
I agree with the comments made by both Nicola Willis and Christopher Luxon. This is not an attack on women. These changes will clarify and simplify the method for raising and processing a claim, and they'll also better incentivise parties to settle and ensure that settlement is sustainable. I want to be really clear. Equal pay has not stopped. Equal pay is fully supported by the government and remains protected in New Zealand law as it has since 1972. And so we're still progressing with those that we can, both in equal pay and with pay equity as well.
That was the National Party's Tom Rutherford speaking to me about the government's reasoning behind the Pay Equity Amendment Bill.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Tom Rutherford.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.